Thank you for downloading this episode of the South Fairfax Church of Christ podcast. This podcast is presented by the Church of Christ located at 2834 South Fairfax Road in Bakersfield, California. We are a congregation that practices mutual edification to the best of our abilities, and what you are about to hear was presented to the congregation by a member of the Church of Christ. Today, we'll be listening to Bob Brown speak about encouragement, recorded on July 8, 2018.
If you'd like to follow the reading, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Living to please God is the heading on this. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we do, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Really a very encouraging chapter, one that tells them, love each other, but he also says, as we know you are already doing. The idea of encouraging, being lifting each other up, that's at the very foundation of Christianity and something that is certainly being told to us today, and I'll speak a little more about that later. Okay, this morning I'm going to speak on the subject of being an encourager. And the first morning of a new year is known by some as being the saddest day of the year. Twitter reports that on Blue Monday, the tweets are 5 times more negative, sad, and depressing. I don't have Twitter, but those are the statistics that we have. The holidays are over. The year is behind us, and I guess It's time to go back to work. We no longer have that rush of family being together, of gift giving, of holiday, of good food. And then it's a new year and nothing for like, it seems like forever. We have to go all the way up to like, you know, Memorial Day to get a day off. But anyway, tends to make people sad. The idea of all this rush of being together and the celebrating, and then it's over. And people can go into a depression. They get sad. I don't have much research or statistics to back this up, which I guess I should have, but I don't. But I think Blue Monday happens to be just a day where people express it more. They're all this big rush, and then that sudden letdown, they just feel the need to express it. But I think some people just cover up better the rest of the year. The idea of being sad, not feeling up to what can be sometimes a pretty tough life, trying life. You know, pressures we put on ourselves that may be artificial, but nonetheless real when we feel them ourselves. Everyone has their own little private areas where they're hurting, where they're sad, where they're not quite positive as they should be, maybe. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a disappointment. What would happen if we regularly adopted the idea of being encouragers? That's just, we took that on and decided to do that. In the book of Acts, there's a person named Joseph. Joseph was an encourager, so much so that you know him by another name given to him by the apostles, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What a great name. Everyone needs a Barnabas in their lives, so that's someone who can pull them out of the pit of despair or whatever. Maybe that pit's only 3 inches deep, but it's nonetheless a pit. Someone can step up and give us a little sunshine. And Acts 4:36 records that Barnabas was a Levite and a Cyprian. That is, someone who's a native of the island of Cyprus. Barnabas put the kingdom first with possessions. His recorded action is that he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet in Acts 4:37. He also was acknowledged by Paul for supporting himself financially in the ministry, instead of depending on handouts from the church or donations from the church, in 1 Corinthians 9:6, saying that only myself and Barnabas have to work for our living, or something to that, paraphrasing that, but show that he was someone who was very independent and worked for his own, to pay his own way. I believe God has made us in a way that encouragement breathes life into us. I think we need encouragement. It's like air. It's like food. That encouragement, that need for that encouragement is built in us. It gives us a boost, lifts our spirits, gives us energy to keep going when sometimes other things are pulling us the other way. I know if I'm doing a job and it seems tedious and I bowed on my last ounce of energy and someone makes a comment about the job I'm doing, it does give me a boost. It does help me get over the hump and get that job done, because it is something God's put in us that you know, like endorphins and all those chemicals run around in our brain. It helps us to go on. Encouragement is a really simple thing to do. It's a kind word to a friend, or mentioning something when you notice something good in others. In Proverbs 16:24, it says, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Sadly, we live in a world where encouragement is kind of taking a back seat to criticism, to the political scene, certainly fake news, other things where it isn't quite as prominent as it certainly should be, and certainly I think as God would like it to be. At home is where I find myself least encouraging. I tend towards negativity, speaking rather than encouraging, and that's, I think it's because, I don't know why. It's really dumb because you're with the people you love the most, and it's like they become, you know, comfortable, so comfortable with that, they don't need any encouragement. But we certainly do, they do. And trying to be that encourager to your family at home is probably maybe one of the most important things, because things build from the home. In the ESV Bible, it says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. That's kind of valuable. I mean, by the world standards, if you offer them an apple with this big gold, maybe a little gold ring, but anyway, or a silver ring, that's a pretty valuable thing. It's really speaking to something that is necessary. It's something to seek, something, you know, the story of the pearl, the man sold everything he had to buy this field to find this pearl, you know, that is a really important thing. A word fitly spoken. In Proverbs 18:21 in the NIV, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Certainly, if you hear stories of kids being bullied on Facebook, adults being bullied on Facebook, social media in general, and certainly in school, certainly we hear about bullying all the time. The tongue has the power of life, uplifting and encouraging, but it also has the power of, in its own way, of death. We hear so many times of suicides of young children and teenagers because of something that was said on social media. It's a powerful thing, and it's really sad that our society doesn't embrace encouragement as much as we should, and certainly our young people are trying to develop their lives and haven't quite got the concept many times. During the course of our day, we make the choice to use our words for good and evil. We express our anger. We express our love. We use words. It's simple reality. Let's be encouragers. Maybe when next year comes, Blue Monday won't be quite so blue. And here are some ways we can be encouragers. And there's a list here, and hopefully they can be encouraging to you. Don't let shyness hold you back. My big problem when I first started coming to this church 46 years ago, 7 years ago, was I kind of liked to be in the background. I stood back and, hi, how are you? But I let my shyness rule me. And over the years, being browbeat and beaten down by you people, I've come out of that in a positive way. And I've gained something because of the encouragement I received from people, many people who are no longer with us. We certainly, many of us know those names. People who took this smart little 19-year-old, and, you know, anyway, I won't even get into that, because, anyway. So don't let it hold you back. If you see something you appreciate or admire, mention it. Nothing is too small. Like that sweater, it really looks good. Or you are always so friendly. Or Dinah, your smile just lights up the room. Yeah, you. Big smile, girl. I love when Dinah smiles. And Sam, your sweet tea is like the best. I think it gave me diabetes, but that's okay. It is the best. It is the best. And Tucker, your metalwork just impresses me to no end. And I mean that. Little things. It doesn't have to be, you know, major. It can be just something that is good. And I think doing that, we uplift each other. And that uplifts me. When I get uplifted by encouraging others. And certainly little things make that doable. And be aware of what encourages you. And then go and do it to others. You know, do unto others. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I think that's always a good life lesson. A good thing to live by. Know what you like and see those good things in others. Be specific when you offer words of praise. Catch someone doing something good and praise them for it. Mike, I love your witty repartee. And that was just this morning at the door. I really enjoy talking to you, Mike. And Josh, you make one of the best canes I've ever seen. Anyone on Facebook saw Mike made a cane out of nothing. Or Josh made a cane. Mike probably could too. But Josh made this cane out of a piece of redwood or something, and it's pretty cool. But I mean that. I mean, that was good. You know, lift someone up by appreciating their skills, their efforts. You know, how Tristan and Tucker and Talon run after Zeb and chase him around and play with the other little kids. I really appreciate how they're so good with the young children. And that goes for most of the older kids. They're just so good with the young kids. Appreciating that in them, I think, is a good thing. It encourages more of that good thing. You encourage good things, more good things happen. On the other side of that, if you encourage negativity, you know, it follows the same. At home with your spouse and your children, tell them what you appreciate about them. Say thank you for the little things. I tend to take Karen for granted. And if anyone and all of you others who know Karen knows that's kind of dumb. Because she does so much for our family, and she is the rock of it in so many ways. But take care of your family. Appreciate them. It's easy because you're with them all the time to see little things they do that may irritate you. But that's you being irritated, not them, their problem. It's your problem. But be appreciative. And this is what I saw, and I don't know that I would do this, is encourage 5 people every day. Put a penny, 5 pennies in your left pocket. And by the end of any time you encourage someone, take that penny, 1 penny out and put it in the right pocket. And hopefully you have all 5 pennies in your right pocket. Kind of silly. Maybe you'd want to do something like that. But that mindset, that be aware of your surroundings. It's not, you say, well, I don't want to just forcefully say something nice when it may not be there. It's always there. The opportunities are always there. You just need to appreciate those people you work with, those people you deal with every day, those people who give you your McDonald's burger, those people who bring your food to the table. Those are people you can give encouragement by saying thank you, good job. Whatever, you know, you don't have to say the food was good, but, you know, encourage the server. When you're encouraged by someone, tell them how they encouraged you and say thank you. Acknowledgement is encouragement. You know, it really puts a smile on someone's face when you say, what you did was really encouraging to me. It was really good. Thank you for that service you gave. You know, a song we sang about service to the Lord, that isn't just our work for the Lord. That's us being encouraged by our work for the Lord. We should gain from that. It should, there's, you know, it says in the Bible that that's our sacrifice. But it should also be something that is a joy, that is something we gain because we do it. Stop finding fault with what is wrong and think about what is right. When you have a negative thought about someone, pause for a moment and try to come up with something positive. And I had to deal with this all weekend. Do some of you know my grandson, Lucky? He can be trying. And unfortunately, I didn't offer all encouragement this weekend. I kind of fell short of that. But some couple times I tried to sit back and just be the other way. He makes it difficult sometimes. And great bit of the time, he is quite a lovely boy, but he can be trying. But I love him like nothing else in the world. And wanting him to thrive, and because he does get so much negativity at home, I think, that I need to be part of the encouragement and part of the positivity in his life. The last one is smile a lot. And my perfect example is my wife, who is an example of so many things. She was once asked by one of the people she worked with, "Are you retarded?" And what? Because you smile all the time. Well, first of all, Karen's like the brightest person in the world, so that's not the thing. But the idea of being positive, having a smile on your face, being a light to the world. I mean, we sang that song. We need to be lights to the world. And our memory verse, be a light on a hill. We need to be that. And part of that comes out in our face. We don't have to say a thing. We can be encouraging just with a smile. And it sends out positive feelings. It gives us a good thing. Turn that frown upside down, so to speak. There's another verse that also applies to how we encourage ourselves. It is in Philippians 4:8. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I think this is the key to being an encourager to others. First, we have our own mind in the right, have to have our own mind in the right place, and then we can become sons of encouragement like Barnabas. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it tells us, "Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." And I really love the phrasing of this verse, because it says, "Encourage one another," and then it gives an encouraging statement at the end, "as you already are." You know, that's kind of, you get kind of a double dose of good news right there. Gives you something positive, and then tells you you're doing something positive. And that's really, I find that just an amazing verse. There are also many stories of God's people encouraging others, which also strengthened them. And that verse was one of them. I'm going to read a story of encouragement starting in Acts 16:16. This story, to me, is an amazing example of faith, of courage and encouragement. And it goes, "Once when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the Spirit left her." When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept and practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prisoners' doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. We then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to them and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release these men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the others, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us so quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escort them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. So many were encouraged by Paul and Silas. I would think the slave girl would be encouraged because she no longer had this demon that was controlling her. Paul and Silas were encouraged themselves by what they were doing. The other prisoners, the jailer's household, my brothers and sisters in Lydia's house. I'm sure Paul and Silas encouraged each other after being severely beaten and put in jail. These are men of God who knew the ultimate hope, what was ahead of them, what they had to look forward to. And in spite of being put in prison, beaten unjustly, all these things, they were encouragers, and certainly themselves encouraged. I'm encouraged when I read this story such as this one, and I realize God included it in the Bible to inspire me, to give me direction, to give me hope, and the courage when things are seemingly not going the way I want them to go. Maybe, you know, January 2nd. My bad days don't have to weigh me down. The Bible is full of rich words and stories of encouragement. The world certainly isn't going to encourage you as a whole. Certainly God's word is. Again, in Romans 15, 4 and 5, it says, is a good way to finish the thoughts here. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had." That's my lesson to you this morning. Encourage each other, because we certainly receive encouragement each time we seek God, each time we study His Word, Each time we come together as a family and worship together, those should be times of encouragement and fuel us to when we go into the world and have to deal with people who are sometimes less encouraging. And certainly, and hopefully, we can turn them around. And that, because that's what God really wants us to be. He wants us to be that light, to save. He wants everyone saved. And if we can be a vessel that helps in that, that's what He would like. If you need encouragement to come forward, if you need to start that life as a Christian, to know that God loves you, He is seeking to encourage you every day, and being part of His family is really the hope that He gives us.
Thank you again for listening. If you are ever in the neighborhood, we are located at 2834 South Fairfax Road in Bakersfield, California. You can join us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. On the first Sunday of each month, we have an open potluck around noon and afternoon services following. All other Sundays in the month, we forego the potluck and have an afternoon meeting at 6 p.m. On Wednesday evenings, you can find us together once more at 7 p.m. For more information or to contact us, visit us at bakchurchofchrist.org. Today's proverb: be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones.